right, everybody, it's time for a brand new episode of Planned Banter. Ow, my
yes.
I'm so enthusiastic to be here, Dave.
Pew-pew.
You can tell.
All right, as always, I'm your host. Too tired to think of anything funny this week, Richard.
Oh. Boo.
Over there, barely remembering that he's even in the room because he fell and hit his head. It's Michael. Over there, still making fun of him for falling and hitting his head. It's Jason.
Yeah, that's true.
I just got 3 jabs in today.
Yeah. This is not going to get lived down anytime.
Well,
all right. So today on the show, some stuff. Lots of stuff. Lots of fun stuff. A little bit about Into the Woods, a little bit about Gallivant, a little bit about Big Eyes, a lot about Avengers World and Rat Queens. Here we go. Let's start.
Let's get down to it.
Let's get down to it.
Business.
Business.
Serious business.
Serious business.
Hey everybody, you've heard me talk about it in the last couple of weeks, but please be sure to check out Max Toys and Games. If you get a chance to actually come down to Corbin, Kentucky, be sure to let me know about it and I'll actually come out and visit you. Kind enough to sponsor us on a lot of our comic book endeavors and reviews for the show. You can follow them on Twitter and Facebook. For both of them, be sure to look them up. They do have great deals and specials. Once again, Max Toys and Games, a big sponsor of Planned Banter. Be sure to check it out.
What did you guys do for Christmas? Anything special? Anything happen over the Christmas break?
The weekend before Christmas, we went to Harlan and got one of our cars pretty much fixed. It was only running on 2 cylinders.
Out of how many? 5?
Out of 4. 6.
6?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about yours?
No, the Prism's a 6.
That's
cylinder.
A 6?
Yeah.
That little motherfucker?
It's a tiny one, but it's
Are
a 6.
Are you fucking
cylinder.
Kidding me?
No.
What the fuck? My car's bigger and has a 4 cylinder.
But
what the fuck?
It's it my dad, whenever I got there, dad was like, "How did you start this car up?" He was like, "No, seriously, I don't understand how."
Well, it's because Toyota made that engine.
Yeah.
So that's how it started.
And I was like, "Force a wheel, Dad. Can we fix it?" And he was like, "I hope." And but
for a Chevrolet, it wouldn't have started at all.
It was, it was
a
good
Prism. Prism's a Chevy.
No, it's a Toyota. It's essentially a Toyota Corolla.
It's a Toyota Corolla. It's built from the same factory. They just slapped a Chevrolet or the Prism name on it.
No, because originally Prism was a Geo model.
Yeah,
and Geo was a combination of Toyota and Chevrolet.
Huh.
Yeah. You remember that Pontiac Vibe? It was just a Toyota Matrix.
Yes, it was a Toyota Matrix.
Prettied up. It's the exact same car. Yeah.
Weird. The Geo project was an idea that, Chevrolet could get some of their cars made by Toyota plants and vice versa. The Chevrolet manufactured vehicles broke down really quick. The Toyota manufactured vehicles continued on beyond the Geo name into the
Look at this motherfucker. Yeah. It's that thing is still running.
2001
against all
yeah
forces conspiring against it.
But and then we went to Corbin a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, but we recorded that.
Yeah, we recorded that, and after the recording, we took advantage of some Christmas sales, and I picked up Bravely Default for $20 for the 3DS, which has got me really playing my 3DS a lot more. And during these lovely year-end sales on the eShop, I picked up 4 games. For $20, one of which cost half of that was Shovel Knight, which I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Shovel Knight.
I meant to buy Shovel Knight because I hear it's really good.
It's super fun. It's
everyone says it's great
old school platformer. really, honestly,
whenever I get Bubble Factor Zero made, it'll make Shovel Knight look like bullshit.
Well, like, and where he's got the shovel and stuff, it's not exactly, but it has reminiscent qualities of the DuckTales, where you can jump and hold down, and he'll bounce on a shovel and stuff. And then I picked up these three games from Level 5, and they were originally $7.99. And a lot of people said they were a little bit too expensive for the games that they were for that much. I got them for $2.99. Crimson Shroud, which I love this game because it's essentially, I mean, like all of the characters are, they look like miniatures, like they have a base on them and everything. So it's like you're actually playing a tabletop role-playing game. You have to roll dice for combat. You have to, you know, if you want to do certain moves, it gives you the option to roll dice or...
that sounds terrible.
You know, so it's pretty fun. Weapon Shop Diomase, which is just a little simple beat rhythm game where you're a blacksmith and you're building weapons. You're the weapon shop of an RPG town, and so you have random NPCs coming in renting weapons from you.
Is the music good?
No, it's not music based. It's just a rhythm based thing. But the idea is that you.
What?
You then watch like almost a little Twitter feed called Grindcast after the person takes your weapon, and it.
Sorry, Grindcast doesn't say.
Yeah, no, I know, but
it's not the first thing I would think of.
And it walks through like their adventures using your weapon, and then if they survive or if they make it back and all that stuff, and if they do, then you can power up that weapon and pass along to the next person and stuff. It's kind of neat. And then Attack of the Friday Monsters is the one that I've really enjoyed so far the most, but it is also the shortest. It's only about a three-hour game. And it's set in 1970s rural Japan. And apparently every Friday, kaiju attack the town. And the kids in the town are trying to... make things favorable for the people who are coming to save them, such as an Ultraman-esque type character or, you know, what are they called? What are the Rangers? Senshin?
Super Sentai.
Super Sentai team and stuff like that. The way one reviewer described it is it's a love letter to 70s Japanese culture and stuff. And so it's about 2.5-3 hour long game. It's gorgeous. Music's absolutely fantastic. So that's pretty much, I've been playing a lot of my 3DS here lately. Yay, Christmas.
I just worked a lot, so.
You went to New Year's Wheeze.
That's true. At the Green Lantern.
At the Green Lantern Bar.
Yeah, the Green Lantern Bar.
We have a bar called the Green Lantern here.
There was no lantern out front.
Nope, no lantern.
I don't think.
Nothing vaguely lantern-esque. It was green.
They did have the weird kind of cross-hatched fencing stuff on the inside of the windows, though, so in case you forgot you were downtown.
Yeah. Trust me, when you get mugged, you don't. Our drummer was talking about how he went. His other band played a show there, and when he was leaving, he was walking back to his car, and this guy tried to mug him and had his hand in his pocket with a gun, quote-unquote, and he said, all right, man, you have to give me everything you need, otherwise it's going to be pain for you or something stupid like that. And I remember he said, I just looked at him and was like, really? Are you going to do this now? Go ahead, just do it. And then he just ran off. Oh my god, he's the biggest badass I've ever heard of. Oh my god, he just looked at a guy with a gun and said fuck off. Like, oh my god, it's great.
The guy ran off. I don't think he had a gun.
No, obviously not, but you know, you don't know that. You know, I'm not gonna take that risk. So
and allegedly Jason made it back home from New Year's Wheeze early, but I don't know. He was just going to let me die that night.
Well, he should have been louder.
Was he actually
I just
here?
Had... Well, look, I spent an hour with a large amount of dBs through my ear. There were four. How many speakers were on stage? It was four.
I don't know. It took you guys like 30 minutes
16,
to break down all of your stuff.
It was six. I've had longer. It was 16 speakers on stage.
When the other guy set up, I was like, God, they look pitiful.
Yeah, I know. Don't they? It's like they're a little bitty rinky dink. One speaker.
Yeah, they had like.
A gong, though.
Yeah, it's true. And they had like a telephone mounted to a little mic stand for some reason.
They never used it. I didn't hear it. But I wasn't.
I guess it's a set decoration.
Everyone was yakking at me afterwards.
Because, yeah, I fell. New Year's morning, I guess it was. It was about 2:30 in the morning. And
Michael has fallen.
I've told the story.
Literally blackout drunk.
I wish. I really do wish. It would be a little bit more tolerable if I had even had anything to drink that night other than the glass of Spanish, whatever their equivalent of champagne is. Because it's not champagne, but, you know, whatever it is.
Michael became...
Cognac.
No, I don't know.
Mike became Tommy Dreamer and just smashed through all his furniture.
Yeah, I was not tired at all, and then I apparently just passed out, and I was sitting up, and I fell over towards my bookshelf and destroyed the bookshelf, like literally destroyed the bookshelf, and ripped a hole in my head, and it was fountaining blood out. And there was a trail of blood from the bedroom to the bathroom. The sink was filled with blood. It was super. It was awesome.
I know. I cleaned it up.
And then, Jason had some resolve. And
did you go to the hospital?
Okay. Everyone said no. The bottle of resolve, carpet. Yeah. I didn't have resolve in my attitude.
In his attitude.
Helping him.
Clean. Yeah, no, that's very true. I did not go to the hospital. I couldn't have driven myself regardless that night because Carrie had the car too. And because she was down in.
Did you use Uber to get home?
I did use. No, I used Lyft to get home.
That's the one, Lyft.
So I screamed at the top of my lungs, "Is anyone in the house?" And no one answered. So I'd assume that no one was here.
So you were here,
Jason? I was here.
Jason was here, and he just didn't hear me. Now, he did hear three Cokes fall in the kitchen and ran up.
That's true. That
did
happened.
Not hear me crash through my...
That was also right on top of my bedroom, which is you're on the opposite side.
Well, that's very true. So that was...
I mean, but I've heard you fall before.
Yeah, you've heard me fall before.
I just was tired and... My ears were ringing. What can I tell you?
Yep. We finally got the bleeding stopped. And I'm still bandaging it up. I probably needed stitches, but I didn't go. So.
It's already looking better.
Oh, it's looking tons better.
You should
put
a Band-Aid on it, though.
Well, I just took a shower, so I'm letting it dry. I had to wash it with soap and water. So.
That's what I hope you do in the shower.
Well, wash the wound, too, with soap and water. Because apparently,
wash your face with
using what's it called? Peroxide afterwards just kills the tissue. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. It's a good thing, but was fun.
You know,
yeah. If you're Facebook friends with me, you can. I made a Facebook post on New Year's and took a picture of the head wound. And my brother in head wound solidarity, John Dennis, also had a picture of his. So,
yeah, he hit his right between the eyes or something, trying to catch like a cat.
Something had to do with the cat. The cat like pulled his head down or something like that. So
that's maybe amazing. He just like, grabbed his head and pulled it down.
Yeah,
he had a Fred Flintstone moment and tripped over the cat.
That'd be great it would be even better if the cat did like a. Whatever the Jericho's move is with the knees, that hits him in the head. Code Breaker. That's it. Fuck you. Fuck off, motherfucker. So Michael's alive,
but just barely.
Well, it was my birthday 2 days ago from this recording.
Yep. You had brownie pie.
It was great. I had a good time. Dinner was made for me. I had brownie pie. And we all talked about bullshit for 4 hours.
And he had like brownie pie for breakfast.
I had for breakfast. Yep. We even made another one, so I have another one. And I'm very excited about that. Got a couple of History of Wrestling books, which I'm excited to read and review on this show.
Yeah. They look very fascinating.
Yeah. Well, I think they are. I think they are.
I would remember most of one of that book. The one with the, you know, OVA and all that fun stuff.
What did you guys get for Christmas?
I got Persona 4 or Persona Q special edition, so I got the nice little case for the 3DS and all that.
Oh, okay, that crossover game.
Yeah, the crossover game that has the characters from Persona 3 and Persona 4 in an Etrian Odyssey style dungeon.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I got Guardians on Blu-ray. I got my Pebble watch, the smart watch.
So he has a calculator on it.
That uses
essentially has a calculator watch.
E-ink technology. That's pretty much all I really got. The big stuff. I got Herbert West Reanimator on Blu-ray, which is awesome.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Thank Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Do it. Thank them.
I got some of them fancy socks that have the padding in them, you know, and actually you have to put, they're handed, so there's a right-hand sock and a left-hand sock, and it's weird.
What?
Like the cushioned socks, those new ones, I got a pair of those. I think my sister got me that.
Yeah, well, my family doesn't seem to have any idea who I am, so I just told my sister this is what I want for Christmas, and I sent her a link to Barnes & Noble's page for the Batman 66 Blu-ray set. It was like, here's a coupon that will make it $100, so this is what I want, and that's what they bought. Sigh.
Yay! But at least you got that.
It's true, I did.
It's great.
It is great so far. I didn't realize how early Mr. Freeze shows up on it. He's like the eighth episode.
Yeah, it was pretty early on, I remember.
Does it look good? Got a good transfer?
Holy shit, it looks incredible. I bet it was, oh my god.
It's shot on film, man.
Like, it looks fucking great.
It's shot on film. It's not fucking stupid-ass videos. Like, they shot that shit like a movie every week. So it's got to look incredible. I mean, for the weight, I'm sure it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's got to be. It already looked good. I mean, the show was already shot well. I mean, it wasn't a low budget affair. Even, you know, for all the slack that it gets, like they pumped some dollars into that.
A fairly fucking high amount of mad effects for a TV show.
Yeah, I know everyone makes jokes about, you know, like just walking on the buildings up on the rope. But I mean, what else are you going to do? It's the 60s. The show is still, like, for the quality of what television was. Like, that was super high quality.
They craft a fucking ridiculous number of props every episode. Yeah, man.
Shit. Like, I'm sure. I mean,
like, the fourth episode, like, the penguin has, like, an umbrella. It's the size of a fucking small house.
Yeah, that
he just
drops
in the middle of the street.
Sounds amazing.
And I'm like,
fuck you,
what
Shield.
What the hell did they do with that?
Shield can't do shit. Like Gotham. Gotham is a below budget affair compared to that shit.
It kind of is in a lot of ways. I mean, you know.
How many episodes are?
Oh, it's like 120.
Yeah, it should be. It's three seasons.
Does it have the movie, too, in the collection? Okay.
With the movie, you've always been able to get the movie.
Well, yeah, I just didn't know if it would be in that
reason.
The movie's amazing.
Collection.
I love that Batman
show.
You
get the movie for like $8 on Blu-ray. It's really cheap. I just don't know how that was always isolated, right-wise.
I'll never sell my DVD of it, because my granny got it for me. She was like, she's like, I know you love Batman. I was like, you're right, Granny. I do.
Right on the head.
You got it.
But yeah, and they got the fancy set or whatever that has like the little Batmobile in it and the trading cards and all that other stuff, which is nice. It's weird. You can buy that on Amazon right now, $10 cheaper than just the Blu-ray set that's all three seasons. I don't know why.
Like, which one? I'm sorry.
Like the Blu-ray set that's just all three seasons and like not the Hot
not
Wheels
the fancy
replica
one.
And doesn't have the big box.
People want the not. People like the single box better because it's in one package.
Yeah, these are like three, like it's three little digipacks releases. Inside of like a pseudo velvet case. Mm-hmm. It's like cloth something or other, and has a little ribbon you tug on.
Yeah, but I want that because I already have long sets of movies and I would just stack it on top.
This is like the only one I have like that.
So as the you're saying that the non-collector's edition set is all in one case?
Something like that.
People desired that. But although it's only $10 difference, so...
I don't know. The very first thing I watched was Surf's Up, Joker's Down, though, just to see what it looked like.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Like... I mean, it looks gorgeous.
I bet it does.
It's a great-looking show.
I really don't doubt it.
I would like...
It is wall-to-wall hot
chicks,
too.
My fond memories of it is like how great all the sets looked, how super colorful it was, and how great it was shot.
You're right. I do, because it comes on MeTV. There's an antenna station that we get in Lexington.
It's on television still?
Yeah. And well, MeTV is nothing but reruns. It's all old shit.
UHF before
it's like
it used
over.
To show
it's like
Batman yes. when I was a kid, and then they lost like the rights around like 1998.
MeTV has like MASH and Dick Van Dyke and all that stuff, and but
so it's what TV Land was, because TV right. Land is now the Fresh Prince of Bel Air and Friends.
and but yeah, they show Batman 66, and there was one where this guy smoked a pipe.
That's consistent though, because it's 20 years difference.
He smoked a pipe, and the pipe smoke. Like distracted all the security stuff and all that stuff, and his female accomplice. Oh my God, she was so hot! Like they got the hottest chicks for those for that show.
I do like Julie Newmar.
Yeah,
there's
only one for me.
That episode of Get Smart where she plays the maid is pretty funny.
Yes,
there's one for me. It's Julie Newmar. Love me some Julie Newmar.
But yeah, Randall got me. The Steve Jackson Games Mars Attacks dice game.
Oh, cool!
Which apparently came with a free hardcover of all the Mars Attacks cards.
Which is great.
Like, I mean, it's not literally the cards. They just
printed
it.
Just
print one page,
them.
You turn it, and
well, that's,
the page is like the front of the card.
I think
and
that's
you turn
cool.
the page, and it's the back of the card.
That is awesome.
It is very cool. Holy shit. Like, I know that I had seen them when I was, like, in middle school and first had the internet and was able to, like, look at these on the internet. Man, they are fucking disturbing.
Are they?
Yes.
I haven't seen them.
Biting off people's heads with giant insects.
That sounds great.
Shit like that.
Oh, this sounds awesome.
Oh, boy.
I guess he had to make a run to the Rusty Skybird while he was in town.
No, I think he had that when he came in the RV
with
them, which apparently Dad like drove the RV off like the side of the road at one point, so now they're selling it. I don't know. It's a whole thing. Apparently I wasn't supposed to know that. I was like, don't tell him you know this.
And then what's going to happen when you ask, hey, what happened to the RV?
Well, they just took it in for repairs like the very next day before I even woke up. So, I mean, you know, whatever. Well, I guess it was that and that big thing of cologne. Did I get anything else? Oh, right. Dad got me that fucking Swiss Army death kit. Like, it's like a grooming kit that has, like, more nail clipping devices than I even knew you would use ever.
Didn't you get one more thing? You sent me a picture of something.
Was it the bottle of cologne?
No.
I got that.
Is that what Reagan got you?
I picked that out.
Is that what Reagan got you?
Yeah.
Okay. Something else. Maybe I'm dreaming.
Oh, and Carrie's mom got us heated blankets, which have been absolutely electric blankets, which have been absolutely fantastic. Carrie got the Battlestar Galactica Blu-ray set.
I don't know. I got Dad Fargo, and I got Randall the Song of Ice and Fire encyclopedia that came out, because with the coupon of Barnes & Noble, you could get it for $15.
Weird. Yeah, but you know that...
Man, last year was Amazon. This year was all about Barnes & Noble.
Crazy, man.
That encyclopedia
awesome.
Bothers me that it's out right now, because you know that they're going to have to do another version of it once the series is finished.
It's called Volume 2.
What's all the stuff that takes place before?
Well, yeah, I know, but then...
Yeah, I guess. You can read about Aegon the First and all that other stuff, which... I bought a copy for myself. Who knows when, if ever, I will have time to read it. Like so
Never.
Many things. Yeah, probably not. I mean, shit.
I haven't even got through that Beatles book I bought last year.
I was going to watch Big Trouble in Little China last night, and when I got home, I was like, man, I got off work at like 11 o'clock. How the fuck is it already 1:30? Like, I really had no clue, because I was going to watch that and then finish Bayonetta, and I was like, well, I may as well just start playing Bayonetta now.
First Bayonetta?
Yeah. And, you know, I finished that, so I accomplished one of the things I meant to do last night. I don't know. The last 2 weeks are kind of like a fucking hot blur of what the fuck, because I think I worked something like 15 days straight or something retarded like that. Oh my god, and it was just relentless. We got off easy on Christmas Day. Christmas Day was not that bad. Mm-hmm. It was the day
every
after
other
Christmas
day, you know?
That was just horrifying. And I don't get it. We were busier after Christmas and on New Year's and on New Year's Day than we were last year. And last year we had Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we had like bigger movies last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but these were more adults. And I think you guys have a higher count of adult movies than you do kids movies there, as I've noticed.
I mean, there's lots of, like, teenagers going to watch Unbroken with their parents, and that's a lot of what it is. Because I didn't think anyone gave a shit about Unbroken. I really didn't. But, no, apparently people care a lot. Like, you know, I saw the trailers for this, and I'm like, yep, that definitely looks like scenes from Chariots of Fire and Bridge on the River Kwai and Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence. And
every other movie that's better.
You know, like, a lot of other stuff. And, nope, apparently people really wanted to fucking watch it. Oh, God. I fucking went out to the compactor 3 times on the day after Christmas. It was horrifying. Oh, God. Every show, like, I'd have to change out the garbage cans. And
yep.
It was like working at Regal when Shrek came.
Yeah, like 2001, 2002, 2003, like when people actually came to movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron was telling me, he's like, we're so much busier now than we have been. And I was like, no, Aaron, we were definitely busier in, like, 2007 than we are now.
Yeah, Jesus.
Like, fucking Pirates 3, Shrek 3, and Spider-Man 3 all came out in the same month. And even though people hate all three of them, like, they still made a lot of money.
No fucking kidding.
Seriously fucking relentless. And I was privileged to watch the one show of Big Eyes that had people in it. Because every other show since then has had, like, 5.
Oh, boy.
But that theater sold out, the one I watched, because we were going to go watch Into the Woods on Christmas Day, and we left, like, an hour early, and it still wasn't enough, because they stupidly put it in theater, like, 14, while we had Hobbit on, like, 7 and 8 still, and I'm like, guys, Hobbit is done, and yet it still won the weekend, but whatever. And we had Annie in 1. Like, our temp guy is, like, a fucking idiot. You know, well, let's have a 10:30 Annie. No one's coming to a 10:30 Annie, okay?
I hate when they do
shit. No one except people who are trying to hide from the cops.
Ridiculous.
Mm. Like, shit, just fucking make that into a different movie or just don't play anything in there because we're going to sell one ticket. It's not worth it. Yeah, Big Eyes was a different experience because there was like a very small baby in there and I was like, ah, fuck, here we go. You know, and I don't mind kids. Like, kids are kids. Kids are going to make noise. If you're in a kids movie and you're complaining about kids, like, fucking go at 10:30 at night. There won't be any kids there, trust me. There may be someone trying to sell you Coke, but there won't be any kids. But no, baby was quiet the entire time. I kind of forgot it was there.
Finally.
Yeah. Well, the old people who were sitting behind us, however, did not shut the fuck up until I told them to, which was great. Like, every time, like, there was a scene where, I don't know, Christoph Waltz falls asleep watching TV and it shows the old, you know, like, Indian head test pattern. They're like, oh, brings back memories.
Oh.
Like, shut up. You're not at home. Anyway, that was my fantastic Christmas adventure.
The fantasy Christmas adventure.
I don't know, my family managed to watch like 10 movies because I was at work every day. Like, they watched Exodus, they watched The Gambler, they watched Annie, they watched The Hobbit.
Did they know when to hold them?
I don't know, apparently
they know when to fold them?
Paramount should have known when to hold it because doing that well.
Ooh.
Dude, remember like early in the year when they were making such a big deal out of like finding like a writer and Paramount wanted to remake this and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, we're going to remake The Gambler. And everyone's like, what the fuck is The Gambler?
Are you sighing about that? Because you know what it is?
Yes.
But it just seemed like such a minor thing that they were making such a big deal out of. Most of the time I was not at work was spent with me avoiding the living room because Randall got a Chromecast, which means he could watch Red Letter Media videos on the TV in the living room.
Yeah.
So it was just like, oh, he's watching the Jack and Jill video again.
Oh, this is what... Oh, I didn't know Rupert Wyatt directed The Gambler.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Boy, he fucked up.
Yeah, no fucking kidding. William Monahan wrote it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, I didn't even know it was coming out until I saw commercials for it, and then they were like in select theaters Christmas or something, and then apparently that just became every theater.
Was James Caan in it too? It sounds like he'd be back in it, just as an old guy.
This is an old guy?
Like, hey, kid, this was me. Fuck you. Get out of here.
The Color of Money.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, exactly. He would pull a Color of Money. Be like, this was me, kid.
I had James Woods in it.
The new one?
No.
The old? Holy shit, when's the old one from?
74.
James Woods was in a movie in 1974?
It had Paul Sorvino in it.
Yeah, Paul Sorvino.
That's the important thing here. And Burt Young. Oh, my God.
Emmett Walsh.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about this. James Woods was like a fucking nothing in it. He was just a dude. Bank officer, there you go.
Oh, geez, that must have been when he was first in movies, because I didn't think he was anything in anything until like 1978 or something.
Yeah, I only saw this once when my dad was watching it. And I don't think he was. I think he was barely watching it at that point.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Roger Spottiswood edited it? What?
Yeah.
How
before
fucking...
he directed fucking Die Another Day or whatever?
Tomorrow Never Dies, I think.
Tomorrow Never Dies, yeah.
And Sixth Day. Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Remember when Sixth Day was supposed to be Ridley Scott?
I do.
Oh, boy.
Man, maybe they can make that movie now. You know?
They both kind of need a
Arnold
big hit.
Ridley Scott, because they do need a big hit.
They both need a big one, and I think that's a pair that would make it.
I mean, people are kind of getting over Ridley Scott.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I guess the start of it was like Robin Hood.
Yep.
But Robin Hood's not bad.
I still haven't even seen it. I want to. He's one. I mean, it. I don't know.
It seems like every movie he makes has a director's cut now.
I like how like he got that script that was supposed to be that Robin and the sheriff were the same person.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, we'll just make it a real Robin Hood movie.
Yeah, I forgot about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right? Isn't that fucking wild?
Yeah. Boy, how dumb would that be?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
No, trust me, there are parts of this new Robin Hood that are pretty dumb.
No one's going to use that Peter Pan gimmick. But they didn't even do it in that remake, in the fucking shitty one that was on TV. They didn't have, I mean, obviously, like, you know, Captain Hook was not Mr. Darling, which would have been...
Which is how they normally do it.
Yeah. It'd be hilarious if Christopher Walken was the father, too. I kind of wish it was. I think it would be incredible. Hey, you kids, go to sleep. That was bad.
Yeah.
That was bad. That thing was bad.
Worse than The Sound of Music?
I think it was, yes.
Wow.
I think it was worse than The Sound of Music. And that was bad.
Yeah.
This was terrible. I mean, all the harmonies were awful. Like the Lost Boys couldn't sing. I don't know. The choreography on all of the Indian tribes were fantastic, because they were just like humping the Lost Boys. It was bizarre. It was really bizarre.
Yeah, I heard they weren't even the Lost Boys. I heard they were like the Lost Men.
Dude, they were men. They were all men. Everyone, like all, they were, they had beards. I mean, it was crazy what was going on. There's nothing boyish about them. They're just super guys.
The SNL thing where they had Franco doing Christopher Walken.
Yeah, it was pretty
Hook
spot
was
on.
Pretty funny.
It was pretty spot on, honestly. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They were kind of doomed from the start because Peter Pan's not like...
Peter Pan sucks.
You know, not a great show.
No, it sucks. Whatever. I don't give a shit to say it. It sucks.
Yeah. Well,
it really does. It's not fun. It's like, what? It's got one song. And they ripped it off for the Toys R Us commercials.
I don't know. I still want to see Annie, even though I hear it's really bad.
I will wait to watch it at home.
Yeah.
There's too much to see.
The parts of it I've watched, I'm like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you're way ahead on watching stuff, so you probably would be able to make it to it a lot easier, but I haven't seen half the shit. I haven't been able to make it out. Thanks, Christmas. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I did go to see Into the Woods that following Sunday, and I was surprised and delighted because it was actually good.
Yay.
And I was really dreading it.
I'm excited that it was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. These people came out yesterday, and Justin refunded their tickets, but their it had ended.
Right, of course, yeah.
And I'm just like, Justin, you can't do that, man, because if you do that, they're just going to do that with every movie forever.
They probably heard about it from other people.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just come out and you complain loud enough about not liking the movie.
It's like, here's a movie pass, but... You
know, no, he refunded their money.
That's what I'm saying, like... He refunded the money, like, not even a movie pass where you have to come back to use it.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, you can call the studio. We didn't make the movie. We're showing it.
I mean, they said it was like one of the worst movies they've ever seen, but apparently it wasn't bad enough to walk out on halfway through.
Yeah, I'm right.
I mean, you know, I don't know if I've ever walked out on a movie. There's movies I've, like, just not finished at home because I'm like, all right, this is intolerably bad.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
And I don't think I've done that since, like, middle school. But...
I walked out on 10,000 BC, but I had to work.
It's
so
true.
I had legitimate
in there alone.
Excuse. I had work to
left
do.
Left me in there to die.
I left you in there to die. Oh, my God. This fucking movie.
He came back, and you were like, what did I miss? And I was like, you missed nothing.
Absolutely.
You missed nothing.
You missed eyebrow girl walking around.
Yeah, like you missed...
What's her name again?
Oh,
I've already forgotten.
Camilla Bell.
Camilla Bell, that's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was surprised I enjoyed Into the Woods. I was glad I did.
Good,
Rob,
I'm glad.
What's his name? Finally made a movie I like.
Rob Marshall.
He's
1 in 4.
Memoirs of a Geisha, 9, Chicago,
that
and this. And then he did that TV version of The Music Man that is like excruciatingly terrible. IMHO. Even though it is based on like the Broadway revival from the early 2000s.
Yeah. But,
that was so popular.
You know.
Actually, it's weird to think about that. Like, two of my favorite shows had revivals in the early 2000s. And I didn't manage to see either of them, but I somehow managed to watch Rent.
Well, were forced to.
I want to watch Gallivant.
Oh, Gallivant comes on tonight. Yes, I actually set my DVR for it.
Apparently, early reviews are very positive.
Really?
Yes.
Good, because, boy, it kind of looks like a mess.
They said that the ensemble really plays off of each other well. The music's catchy and earwormy.
Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Oh, yeah. I did like that,
Yeah,
though.
That was good. Apparently, I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't seen it yet either.
People say it was good.
Oh, I thought most people hated it.
I don't know, did they? People I've talked to liked it.
But now, one thing I did hear
you're going from real life, I'm going from the internet.
You're right. You're right.
But Gallivant.
Yeah, I've heard really good things about Gallivant, so I'm very excited. I mean, I just think that'd be insane if there's an ongoing Sunday night TV musical.
That's 4 weeks.
I thought it was...
It's like a mini event thing. Mm-hmm.
I know Weird Al.
Maybe they're just test running it.
I know Weird Al's going to be on an episode of it.
Yeah, he's a friar or something. Yep. Like I say, Ricky Gervais. And I'm like, guys, come on. Maybe it's time to accept that he's not a huge draw for family audiences.
No, Ricky Gervais, big deal.
Yeah. Actually, Justin was telling me about that show he has on Netflix, Derek, which he says is like actually super way fucking offensive.
Yes. Well, that's what Ricky Gervais does whenever he has his own...
Oh, it's 22 minutes. Well, that explains it.
What?
I thought it was like an hour long.
Gallivant?
Yeah.
No, they're doing an hour long premiere tonight.
It's 8 episodes.
Hmm.
I didn't know that. I thought it was 4.
They might just show an hour of it each week or something.
4-week comedy extravaganza that will air in January.
Hey, maybe it'll
just
come
from
back.
The commercials, it's already got better music than Camelot. Sorry, I had to get a Camelot slam in there somewhere.
Yeah, you know.
Yes.
Apparently Hugh Jackman's in Camelot in London right now.
Did you know that it was Kennedy's favorite show? And he named his administration after it?
No.
What?
Really?
What?
So the Kennedy administration was Camelot?
Camelot. Huh. Isn't that wild? Did you know that? Yes, thank it. Thank you, every book. God damn.
I don't know. Maybe Camelot performed by people other than who are in the movie makes it better, but I like Camelot.
On, but you still have to listen to it. God, can you imagine?
I mean, you know, like, some versions of Oklahoma I like better than others.
I mean, like, at least Into the Woods showed itself, like, you know, sort of. Sometimes it was a musical, and still looked kind of goofy even if it didn't have any music in the trailer, like, if they were singing.
Well, I mean, the only time they let Colleen Atwood be Colleen Atwood is with the wolf. Otherwise, everyone just looks normal and not like, I'm Colleen Atwood, and everyone has to wear, like, velvet vests with the... You know, like velour bowler hats that have candles. Yeah,
that
in
sounds.
Them,
that sounds capes. Like her. Oscar, give me an Oscar.
Everything must be crimped lace, no straight lace.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I was surprised. Chris Pine is very good in it.
I'd heard that he was, yeah, a lot of people had said that he was excellent.
Yeah, he's actually like a standout. I don't know. Randall really hated it.
That's the biggest mark of quality you can come with.
Yeah, like if it's a musical he hates, it's probably actually pretty good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that Into the Woods ended up being pretty good, because that was, with all the, you know, changes and everything that had been reported.
You know, they didn't change as much as I thought. They really didn't. They changed one of the lines in the song in the Into the Woods / prologues or whatever from Sometimes I Think You're Touched to Sometimes I Wonder What's Wrong With You or something like that. They took out Sleeping Beauty and Snow White, but they're such minor characters. And they took out Rapunzel dying.
Huh.
But Rapunzel is actually like a pretty minor part of the show, or of the movie.
Of the movie.
You know? I mean, you know. It's the baker and the baker's wife show. Everyone else is, and Cinderella, and everyone else is kind of just in it for the most part.
Right, right.
To a certain degree. I mean, Jack and Red Riding Hood are also important, but, you know. I don't know. But it was good, and everyone definitely guessed when the stepsisters had their eyes picked out by the ravens, and I was like, man, like,
nice.
I keep thinking that people know that stuff was changed, and I guess they don't.
That's, I mean.
Everyone was really freaked out by that.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
listen
know.
To the story.
Yeah,
I'll fuck you up. I chop my feet off.
Yeah, someone was talking about that too. I mean, I don't know. I do. I am mystified. It got a PG rating, a little bit, and also how many people are taking very, very small kids to it. It's because like it can be like exhausting because it's like almost 2 hours of. More or less nonstop singing. Like, I think 80% of the movie is singing. And, you know, everyone really likes it until Act 2 happens.
So how about Big Eyes?
Big Eyes was okay.
Okay.
It was nice to see, you know, Tim Burton trying to do something that was not just like, I'm making a Tim Burton movie by Tim Burton, is directed by Tim Burton. It's like, it's pretty straightforward.
What was the last one he did?
Was Dark it? Shadows, I think.
Dark Shadows, right. I forgot he did that.
You know, that's a bipolar fucking movie.
Yeah,
I mean, mostly because Seth Graham Smith doesn't know how to write, but you can't decide if it's like a comedy or if it's like actually like a soap opera.
Did you all like Big Fish?
Most people like Big Fish more than I do.
Yeah, I mean, it was a chore to get through, just because it felt so long. But
there's parts of it I really like.
Yeah, there's parts of it I like. There's parts of it that just, I don't know. It's not a great movie. It's not a good movie. It's like an average movie.
That's the last time people probably considered him a legitimate filmmaker, though.
Yep.
Because everyone shits all over Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which is sad because that's trying really hard.
I like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory too. A lot. It's good. It's very good.
Like, I liked it enough that I took my mom to it.
Yeah. Like, I dug the fuck out of that music. Like, you don't hear.
That's definitely the last time Danny Elfman gave.
Yeah,
a
I was
shit.
Like, this. Like, when does he get to do pop music anymore? Like, he was fucking thrilled, probably. Like, oh, finally get to write something with a drum beat. I'm excited. Let's do this.
Yeah, because I mean, Big Eyes. Like, it doesn't really even sound like a Danny Elfman score. It's just there. It's just music.
I'm sure it is. I mean, that's all of his scores now, anyway.
Pretty much.
Just background.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that was the fun thing about his scores in the first place, is like they got people to recognize what film scores were.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Edward Scissorhands is like really beautiful music.
Oh my god.
And you know, like you recognize Beetlejuice pretty fucking quick.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I mean, Big Eyes is fine. I'm not going to say that it's like, you know, worth going out of your way to watch, but it was interesting. I think it raised a lot of questions that it didn't adequately like cover by the end. In a lot of ways, because, you know, like a lot of it is like, this lady probably would not have been successful if not for her husband, because mm-hmm. it's really hard for women to get artistic legitimacy, especially in a field that's as selective as modern art, you know, back in like the 1960s and 70s. And it actually opens with like a quote from Andy Warhol where it's like, of course, the Keane portraits are great. If they weren't great, then they wouldn't be so popular, which, you know, it could be him being a smartass. It could be him just making an observation. It's probably a little bit of both, but, you know. There's parts of it there, like, I don't know. There's this one part where he, like, freaks out and he's, like, trying to kill her and the daughter by throwing, like, matches through, like, a keyhole in a room where acetone spilled all over the floor.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, ah, this is, like, right out of a horror movie.
Jesus.
I don't know, I feel kind of bad for Christoph Waltz because it seems like he's, like, he's going to be, like, I don't know, just hired to play the same role forever. Even though I know he can do a lot more.
Yep.
But no, Big Eyes was interesting.
Well, good. At least that's that.
It kind of snuck up on me. I mean, I sort of forgot it was coming out.
I guess, what's-her-face is not going to be in any of the movies anymore. So
who?
It's positive.
Oh, Helena Bonham Carter?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it has, like, there's literally, like, no trace of, like, I am Tim Burton and I am phoning this shit in that has been, like, the dominant form of his, like, filmmaking for, like, the past, I don't know, 10 years, I guess, where it's like, here's Johnny Depp and here's Helena Bonham Carter. Like, he finally wrote that out. Which, yeah, I heard that they were breaking up, like, right before I watched the movie, and I was like, really? What on earth happened? No one knows yet.
I'm sure I can figure it out.
Yeah, all right.
Apparently it was an amicable split, but...
Maybe she just divorced him because she wasn't in this movie.
Yeah, I don't think it was probably her. If I were to take a guess. If it was amicable split, that means it was the guy's decision.
So you guys didn't watch anything?
Nope, I've not been to the movies.
I don't think I... Besides The Hobbit, which we already talked about, I don't think I've seen one since then.
You didn't watch The Hobbit, Michael?
No.
Everyone else but him did.
Yeah.
You're missing out.
Well, my thing is right now with whatever's going on with me, I know I'd fall asleep during it, and I don't want to spend $10 to go fall asleep, so.
I don't either, because I have free tickets to The Imitation Game.
Well, no, I know, but I mean...
I'm kidding. I haven't watched The Imitation
Game. Bang, bang.
Carrie really liked The Imitation Game.
I guess I probably should have done that with Theory of Everything, because I've watched part of Theory of Everything.
Woo. Should have heard.
I don't know. I'm really... Like, there's always something that's, like, up for awards that people trash every year, and this is, like, I guess, like, the one that is this year, and I'm really enjoying it, because I have watched part of Theory of Everything, and it was this scene where he first has, I guess, the first manifestations of his ALS, and he's trying to play croquet, so he just passive-aggressively keeps hitting this croquet ball while his wife stands there and watches him. And... maybe it's better in context of the movie, but watching it out of context in a movie check, it was like, boy, this is really terrible.
Yeah. It's great.
That Eddie Redmayne just looks ridiculous because he looks like he's wearing wax lips.
I heard that he was. He ate them afterwards. They were cherry.
But, you know.
Well,
that's cool.
That's cool.
When do nominations happen? Next week?
I guess a couple of weeks from now, which is exciting because maybe that means we'll book some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I know what I can watch.
I would have probably watched The Theory of Everything, because we didn't get The Imitation Game. I would have probably watched The Theory of Everything had they not moved it to Theater 6, which has a dead pixel on it, and it just drives me insane.
Boy, I got to see Whiplash just because people are fucking talking that shit up.
Yeah, I really want to see Whiplash as well.
Yeah, they are talking shit up about that.
Yeah.
I mean, people are like, this is the best movie of the year, without a doubt. His people top 10. I mean, it's every, like top fives, top two.
Maybe it'll be out Boyhood, which comes out on Blu-ray.
At Tuesday. This point, it might.
I don't know. I want to watch Boyhood, and yet I'm kind of dreading it because I get the feeling
it's been
I'm
available for me to watch for
it.
Months, and I just haven't because really? I know that it's like it's been on demand forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I don't really have like strong opinions on Richard Linklater as a filmmaker.
Comics. Doctor Doom has been around forever.
Black Cat.
TPB.
Fantastic Four.
First appearance of Dr. Octopus. The next issue of Avengers. Cable.
Ghost Rider.
Incredible Hercules. Comics. Lobo. John Burke. Moon Knight.
Mr. Hyde. The original Ghost Rider was a cowboy who had a flying horse.
Thor, God of Thunder, number 25, comics. He hears rumors of the Lizard. Between Amazing Fantasy, number 15, and Amazing Spider-Man, number 1, and then Amazing Spider-Man, number 1, and Amazing Spider-Man 2, and then number 2 and number 3. Comics. 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 Comics.
All right, what do you guys want to start with? You want to start with Avengers World?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do Avengers World.
All right, Avengers World. So when we last left Avengers World, it was like back in like, I don't know, September.
Yeah, I think what we last left it with was, because this is where I left off reading, was when Cannonball and Sunspot went to the future.
And they found the kids from Avengers Next.
And they, yeah, they or, found...
Not Avengers Next.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's Avengers Next.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, whoops. Now, there's a Mech 2 title with that as well.
Or maybe, no, the Next Avengers, then.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the cartoon, that's the name
yeah,
of the
cartoon
movie.
That
yeah.
Everyone seems to have completely forgotten about now.
Oh, I love that. I still
I
watch
never
it.
Saw it.
Oh, it's great.
It's the first. It's not the first thing that Black Panther had a kid that's like a Were-Panther, though, right?
No.
Is there a Were-Panther kid in it?
No. Black Panther's kid's always been him and Storm. He had a panther. He had a pet panther.
Okay. Mm. The Mac 2.
Oh, he was a Were-Panther?
Yeah, he's a coal tiger.
Oh, okay.
He's also a Were-Panther in Ultimate Avengers 2, the animated movie that also no one seems to remember very well.
Yeah, well, there's a reason for that. Yeah,
is it bad?
Yeah. The Ultimate Avengers stuff was bad.
That Doctor Strange movie was okay.
That's oh, the Doctor Strange movie was good. The Iron Man movie was really good.
You guys watched those?
Yeah.
It's Doctor Strange. I'm gonna watch it.
Hulk versus.
You don't watch fucking Doctor Mordred. Come
well,
on.
You're right. I do watch that Flash show. So.
The Hulk versus movies were actually really good. A lot of the Marvel cartoons are they're nothing special, but they're also not bad. They're really good.
Unlike the Marvel cartoon series.
After, what was it called?
Wasn't that Doctor Strange one based on the JMS story?
No.
No.
I thought it was. Oh, that's the, sorry, that's the motion comic thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
What was it? It wasn't Earth's Mightiest Heroes. It was,
Avengers Assemble?
That's the
no,
new one.
Earth's Mightiest Heroes was awesome. Avengers
yeah,
Assemble
that's the
sucked.
One that people like.
That's
yeah.
one everyone loves.
Avengers Assemble is pretty bad. I watched an episode of it, and I'm like, yeah, this is not good.
People seem to like,
Earth's Mightiest Heroes was awesome.
Yeah.
And I've watched a little bit of an episode of Hulk and the Agents of Smash, and I'm like, yeah, not for me.
No.
And I already knew I would fucking hate Ultimate Spider-Man. This is from, like, when they did the Family Guy cutaways or whatever. Like, oof. Yeah, okay, no.
Well, now I think it's actually a different series for the time being. I think it's called Web Warriors.
It is. David was telling me about it. Apparently, like,
well, because it's all the different Spider-Man
web warriors.
It's the stupidest thing.
He's apparently competing with Taskmaster to recruit people with superpowers before Taskmaster does, and one of them they recruit is Amadeus Cho wearing the Iron Spider armor. And I was like, okay, that's actually pretty neat. Yeah. I like that.
And whenever, it
sounds like Spider-Verse.
Whenever, well, it is. Whenever they go into the different, like, whenever they go into Spider-Man Noir, it all goes black and white and stuff like that.
So are they going to go, like, is Spider-Verse going to pick up all the Web Warrior guys?
Okay, the Ultimate Spider-Man from the cartoon is in Spider-Verse.
Yeah, he's in the Spider. He's hanging out with Miles. There's two Ultimate Spider-Man. There's
That's who it was.
That's the Ultimate. That's the cartoon Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay. Oh my God, that was
you
terrible.
Mean the one where they go hang out with the '60s TV cartoon Spidey and Mr. Nobody
before they do that.
Okay, yes. Yeah, the one before that I wasn't crazy about, but the one where they hung out with the '60s television Spider actually.
Fine. Yeah, yeah, I like. Yeah, because they were like, "What? This building only has four windows."
Yeah, and they get lost in the city because everything looks because
everything's exactly the same. Yeah, it feels like we're just going in a loop. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right, well, what's this Avengers thing?
So, Avengers World. Yeah, we last left off, I guess, with like two issues left of this because I thought, like, the thing about Avengers World was every time it would get going, I thought that, oh, the story's going to end in two issues, and it didn't.
Whenever they pick up the kids,
yeah, it's like issue 10.
There are three issues left in that arc.
Yeah.
And then...
Or wait, so it must be 11 then, because it's 14 issues long.
Yeah, I think it's 11, and then, so 11, 12, 12 4, 13, and 14 are the end of the AIM uprising.
Yeah,
and then
Morgan
15
and
16 are the Axis issues. With the AIM uprising, you know, I mean, I really liked Avengers World. I really, really did because it told a story from beginning to end.
It is a gigantic fucking story.
I mean, and I really feel like more than anything else, it deserves like a deluxe size trade to have the whole 14 issues in there because it really does tell a single story. And, you know, so they're fighting a war on four fronts because you've got the Cities of the Dead that Morgan Le Fay is running. You've got
Smasher on AIM Island.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the AIM Island stuff, you've got the Madripoor on the back of the dragon attacking Beijing. And then you have there's one other storyline that I forgot. Because there's the Euro forces with the City of the Dead. Oh, and I guess the regular vanilla Avengers are in Washington, D.C., where AIM's fighting. Because they don't really focus on that, though. They focus on the other shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Parts of it kind of run... Like, parts of it run into one another. And it would have been interesting to see this as, like, three or four or little four-issue arcs or whatever. But it was interesting they put them all the same way. I think that's why that book failed to gain traction. Because it's
possibly
not doing great.
But so Sunspot and Cannonball come back and tell Maria, you know, we brought you the kids. And, hey, we found out about your secret Avengers that, you know, you mind-wiped them and stuff. And then she says Reverie and blanks their brain from going to the future, which I thought was kind of hilarious.
I'm glad they had that little bit of payoff. At the same time, what the fuck are they going to do with those kids now?
I mean,
my guess is...
The end of the story is the kids are in the present and they haven't gone home.
My guess is the kids are going to be part of Time Runs Out.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, okay, I have heard a theory on Time Runs Out, and we'll discuss this here in a little bit, but I do think...
Go ahead and discuss.
Well, okay. Yeah, let's go ahead.
It
we'll
makes sense
later.
In that... One thing that they're talking about when Time Runs Out is that possibly this whole sliding timeline deal that Marvel has always had is actually fucking with the universe.
Fuck, that was going to be my pitch.
And
Hickman got to him first.
That's also how apparently people think they might slide the Fantastic Four and the X-Men over into their own little corner for a little bit.
Oh, so Heroes Reborn.
reading Ben knew each other, and Ben was a, you know...
Yeah, in World War II.
And then it was Korean War, then now it's Desert Storm, and, you know... And so that could be part of the, that could be part of that. That's what I'm thinking. Part of it is the whole timeline stuff. It's stretching.
Fuck it. It's
because that. And somebody said that could be why there was all that incongruency with learning to crawl. Learning to crawl was kind of a side effect of all of this.
Wasn't because of time being broken in Age of Ultron.
Well, you know, that's also why...
One writer used that, and it was Mark Waid.
Well, that's also... See, think about it, though, because you've got an Ant-Man book coming out that's going to have Scott and Cassie. So, because of what happened with Hank in Age of Ultron, you could very easily age the hell out of him and make him just like in the movie.
God, I hope not.
That's how they could, quote-unquote, get rid of Janet and give you Hope, Van Dyne. So
get rid of anyone.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying it's there, but
they've effectively made themselves DC.
How's that?
They're happy with it. Well, they're wiping the minds of people. They're going to reset continuity. I mean, do all this shit.
I don't think they're going to reset continuity. I think they're just going to try and fix continuity.
That's what DC did. That was their attempt at fixing continuity, was to redo it. They bought a bunch of properties from other companies. You're like, holy fuck, we have all that. Like, how does this work?
I think it's totally different, though, because like you're saying, they brought up a bunch of properties. How are we going to make this fit together?
Marvel Man.
Marvel's just sitting there like, we're trying. I mean, you don't
want to. What's your face?
You don't want to lose.
Oh, God, please don't put Marvel Man in the Marvel universe.
What's your name again?
Angela.
See, it's the same, man.
Angel, they've already shoehorned her in.
They did that with Shazam before. Now I'm comparing Angela to fucking Captain Marvel. What a world.
They're just going to deal with the timeline, you know. But
we'll see. I mean, I still don't know about them putting the X-Men and the Fantastic Four off in their own little corner. At the same time, like, I do believe that they are petty enough to do that, but at the same time, X-Men comics still kind of sell.
Eh, not as much anymore. That's kind of dying.
Well, yeah, no, it's
Bendis,
like,
is, I guess,
fucking 10
running everyone off,
Avengers,
yeah.
Which is too bad, because like, he wrote Avengers and it sold so well, and it was so terrible.
But
I mean, his Avengers stuff, god damn, good. It is fucking awful.
And the one,
it is so terrible.
It's funny
sometimes.
About the one break he got through. He was like, I'm gonna push Ares, and that wasn't bad. And the Ares stuff was working. It was good.
And
then
good.
He was like,
and he kills him.
Fuck it, you're dead. Ha ha.
Yeah. And then, like, if all the, like, I don't mind Dark Reign, but one thing Dark Reign did fuck up was Ares, which makes me sad.
I'm making $75 an hour. That's awesome.
Well, also, there was something coming up that I'd seen somebody talking about that was apparently like the Chaos War? Was that what it was a couple of years ago with Hercules and all the gods? And apparently that's going to show back up in this Time Runs Out thing. And they're apparently going to get the Pantheons straightened out again. So, like,
they haven't even done anything with them since Chaos.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
A lot of them are dead.
And apparently, like, Ares will be coming back, and Zeus, and all of those, and it'll, you know, and but so we shall see. But anyway, Avengers World. So you got the Avengers next Avengers kids there. They take on half a helicarrier full of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents just to prove that they can fight. Which I thought was a little weird, but it's whatever, you know.
I mean, I don't know. They keep talking about how, like, the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents are, like, super hyper-competent or whatever, and yet they just usually tend to show it to be, like, you know, scrubbed.
Now, I do love in those books where they take the small backstories of the Euroforce and Spear.
I did like that a lot, too.
Oh, my gosh. That was fucking awesome, because in two pages, they gave awesome origin stories for these characters. Oh, it was fantastic.
As far as having a book that introduced a lot of new and exciting characters in the Marvel Universe, this actually was, like, really cool.
Euroforce and Spear.
Introducing and reintroducing them.
Yeah, well, and I love that Monkey King I love that
he showed up again.
Well, that he's with the Ascendant. I love it. It's great. That makes me so happy because he's such a fun character. He's such a fun character. And I love that the, you know, whoever's in the power suit that they got from Russia, that's that busted up Crimson Dynamo suit that's purple now.
Rocket Red.
Or Rocket Red's. Funny. Is a Skrull.
I'm a dick, huh?
Is a Skrull.
There's a lot of fun stuff in this book, and, like, I don't know, like, I admire Avengers World, because even though, like, 14 issues of this one continuous story, which I don't think it took a year to publish. No. It might have taken, like, a year. It might have taken, like, 10 months.
It might have been, I think it was close to a year, but I know it was less than a year.
It's taken us 3 years to review it.
Well, yeah, but it's a long book. A lot of the characters that are in the Avengers and, like, the main Avengers book actually have things to do here. Like, yes. Shang-Chi has served no purpose being in Hickman's Avengers whatsoever other than that one issue.
He got some Pym particles and got to go kaiju fighting.
Yeah, it's a wacky fucking book.
Ultra Shang, yeah.
That was awesome. And he picks up the temple that has Gorgon in it and just smashes chucks it. It's great.
That's pretty much.
That was fantastic.
Tattooed teenage alien.
I liked I liked the whole thing where
Beverly Hills.
Whenever they were in the City of the Dead and Sebastian Druid shows up. And then he has his plan, and then he gets stabbed. And Hawkeye's like, "Oh crap, yeah. Maria, we've got a man down." And then he comes back, and he's like, "Oh wait, never mind." And I like that they've made Sebastian Druid, like, he's awesome. Like, he's kind of him and Daisy are going to be the biggest ones that came out of Secret Avengers, Secret Warriors. Yeah.
Phobos is dead.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And I don't remember most of the others.
Yo-Yo, which I don't know what happened to Yo-Yo.
Yeah, maybe he died too, or she, or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I really liked how they finished it up. I mean, I thought it was just fun. It was a fun, wacky, epic, you know, the world's ending, we gotta figure out a way to stop it, and...
It's a fun book. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I do wonder about, like, characters like Nightmask and Starbrand being around because they have these insane god powers and they don't really help very much.
Well, I think with Nightmask and Starbrand, pure and simple, they're around for this whole world end thing because...
Well, he could have sat on introducing them for, like,
he
a
really
while.
Could have, but I think, I don't know, maybe they've got to learn... Maybe something's getting ready to happen and they'll have like a little mini series that's got them in it or backups or something like that. I don't know, but I do think, yeah, he probably could have sat on introducing them for a while.
You're very much the Kongorilla and Prince whatever Starman of his run.
Yeah.
They make a weird comparison to James Robinson's JLA. Fucking Kongorilla.
Kongorilla.
But it was a fun book. That, you know, didn't rely on Cap and Iron
Man.
Yeah, that didn't rely on Cap and Iron Man and Thor. You know,
I barely remember Thor being in it.
They weren't. I mean, they were in DC, and they just showed every now and again. They showed these epic splash pages with the movie Avengers beating up AIM agents, but that's it. And it was mainly, you know, like Cannonball and Sunspot doing their thing, and. I loved in the City of the Dead when Black Knight goes, "Bloody zombies," and Hawkeye goes, "Dane, you can say bloody all you want, but you're from the U.S. I loved that. I thought that was pretty good. And I liked, I loved the new Euroforce, and I would almost like to see like a Euroforce and Ascension like flip book where it's like a, you know, half a Euroforce story and half Ascendant story.
I liked setting those characters up, and I would like to see them again. I like the Black Knight.
I love the Black Knight. But, he's always been a fantastic character.
You know, I don't know, it's very depressing because it's like the one time these characters get to shine like every 6 years until, you know, the higher-ups are like, movie time, and then suddenly they're fucking everywhere.
And then there was Silver, that soccer player who got coded in that...
the alien thing?
Yeah, alien shale. He was like, I did it for the kids. He was like, what, so they could look up to you as a hero? He was like, no, I spent all my money on this so I can't pay alimony anymore. It's just fucking jerk-ass soccer player. It's just, it was hilarious. It was great.
Inazuma 11.
Huh?
Nothing.
What'd you say?
Inazuma 11.
Oh, yeah. God, that thing's fucking everywhere.
It is.
Yes.
But then they followed up this story with the two Axis tie-in.
After that, we get the Axis tie-in.
I kind of like the Axis tie-in. I don't care much about
Axis.
I thought
it was really fucking dumb.
Oh, my God, it sucked, Michael.
No, I didn't. I liked seeing Elsa Bloodstone again.
But they all pick characters for the most part I liked. It's just like ultimately,
well, they don't
like,
do
what
anything
was the
with
point
them?
Of them doing anything? Like, we need your specific skills, Stingray. And I'm like, yeah, Stingray.
Stingray. Why?
Stingray.
Well, he went and saved all those people.
Yeah, he died into a river, but how else did they know, like, people were going to fall in a river?
I mean, and I don't know if it's done or not. It's hard to tell if
I think it is.
I think it is.
Sal is just that smart.
The next issue says, come in a month to read Before Time Runs Out, Part 1 or something.
But now my favorite part about this whole Axis tie-in is that Cassie's back.
Yeah, that's the one thing I took out of it. You know?
And
that's the only thing that...
That's actually got excited for that when Jace. Yeah, told
it's
me that
really
was a
cool,
thing.
And it almost really feels like. Now, I hate to say this, but it almost really feels like that the whole thing was a MacGuffin, just so Doom could get enough of Scarlet Witch's power to do that one thing because he thinks that'll be like one of the bigger linchpins. Well, no, also
Scarlet Witch was the MacGuffin because we didn't.
I also
see
felt
a
like
fight
building the team was the MacGuffin too, almost.
Well, in a way, yeah. I mean, this is a story that probably could have been told in half of one issue or
something. I do think it probably should have just been one issue.
It was weird because, like, she's like, I'm going to go find you, Dr. Doom, and she flies off, and then was like, well, is she going to go find him or what? And it's like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess that's an Axis, maybe.
I'm not going to read it.
Yeah, I'm not reading Axis. Like, I flipped through it, and boy, it's fucking bad.
Yeah. You guys can tell us what happens.
Well, apparently, everybody thinks it's bad.
Like... I was talking to Jason about this earlier. I was like, you know, like, I don't know what the fucking proposals and pitches were for this. Like, there's an issue of, like, the Axis Revolutions comic where Kitty Pryde is evil and she's robbing a bank. And I'm like, so if Kitty Pryde turned evil, why would she rob a bank? Wouldn't she, you know, murder Magneto or something? Like, wouldn't she do something? Like, wouldn't she go, like, fucking burn a Friends of Humanity clubhouse to the ground? Like, wouldn't she do something that made any fucking sense? Like, did she grow up poor and she's afraid of being poor and that's why she's robbing the bank? I don't know. It's just, it feels like a fucking mess. Like, I mean, yeah, when Dr. Doom becomes good, he wants to redeem himself and he does things that are good that are bad things he did that he's undoing. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to justify being a hero because he feels guilt. So, and, you know, I get that even Iron Man becomes evil, so he becomes a narcissistic alcoholic. There's, like, space for that. You know, like, there's no fucking room for Kitty Pryde robbing a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just moronic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck is
I guess
that?
It would just be because it's the easiest thing that she could possibly do. I mean, she'd just walk right in, walk right out. I mean...
Yeah, I mean...
That's what Kitty Pryde is all about, the easy way.
Oh, yeah.
She fucking spent half of her life on a fucking rocket in space.
No, a bullet.
What they could have fucking done was she's tired of doing things the hard way, so she just wants things to be easy.
Yeah, if they maybe.
But
yeah.
They didn't. But they probably didn't say that. They probably were just like, you know.
The easiest way to get money if you're a crook or whatever that's a fucking super genius like Kitty Pryde isn't to rob a bank, it's to fucking hack a bunch of credit cards or something.
This is very true, too, yeah.
It's to just steal the Blackbird and sell it to the American government.
Yeah, just go to every ATM and make it fuck up and spit all the money out,
sell the location
out, right?
Of fucking
just stick your hand
Weapon
in.
X.
Yeah, stick your hand in.
Bounty
make the
hunters and have them go get
machines
Cyclops.
Or go like, oh, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, like, boy, it's
whatever.
Fucking dumb. I didn't really like these Axis issues. The dumbest thing was Valeria wearing the armor. Though.
That was so stupid. She pops out. I'm like, oh my god, this is a bad moment in life. I can't believe this happened. You like that, Michael? That is so bad.
I mean, it doesn't help that, like, I started reading, like, the Hickman FF, and they identify Valeria as being 3 years old at one point. And in this, like, while I like Marco Cecchetto's art a lot, I think he's a great artist, and he's super underrated.
Yeah, he used to be everywhere.
He draws her like she's 12.
Well, I think she's aged.
Did Doom unnaturally age her again? Like when she
I think something happened and she got... I think it was Franklin, actually.
We were talking about this where, you know, like, Franklin seems to be, like, be regressing into being younger and younger as time goes on, and she just seems older and older.
Or that maybe he's fully aware, but he wants to pretend to be a kid, so he's acting like a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't...
That was a theory I heard, was that he has seen the future, so he wants to put in as much kid time as possible while he can.
I'm fine with that. I mean, he grows up to be fucking Hyperstorm in, you know, one alternate future.
Yes.
So, I mean, whatever.
I like his future self in the Hickman run.
But, you know. I mean, these were, like, the very definition of, like, just tie-in. You don't even have to read them to whatever. They have no impact on what the book... They literally have no impact on what the book has been.
No, I had no. I was like, "What the fuck is this?"
Totally unfucking related in every way, other than that Maria Hill appears briefly, and Coulson shows up. Because I mean, I told Jace, I was like, "God, I'm really getting tired of Coulson."
He's in every comic.
He's literally every comic.
He's in every comic.
They just think that people who watched Iron Man aren't going to be able to read a Marvel comic.
Oh my God, thanks, Josh.
Because Coulson's not in it.
Dick,
what?
He made everyone love that fucking guy. So that's fucked everyone else up.
Well, now he's got his own show.
I know.
Well, yeah, but he's still he's still not his own character, and that's the problem. He just come up with something other than that he's just a Marvel fan.
Well, no, but
like, that's the extent of
what
we've
apparently
seen.
In the S.H.I.E.L.D. book, he does become his own character. They said one of the things that I read was that they made leaps and bounds of separating him from even, you know, what you know from the Marvel movies and making him his own character that's not just a fanboy.
Good. And the problem with the show is that, like,
it's Mark Waid, right?
Kind of like
wrong?
A fucking
yes, it's Mark Waid.
Personality boy.
So, I mean, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but history has proven to be right on that.
I don't know.
I mean, it could be horrible.
I'm tired of, like, I loved S.H.I.E.L.D. when I was a kid. I loved it when S.H.I.E.L.D. would pop up in a book.
Dude, this is not the S.H.I.E.L.D.
you know,
read
like,
as a kid.
Nick Fury would show up to be like, thanks for taking care of Fire Lord, Spider-Man. We're going to cart him off somewhere. And I'm like, yeah, awesome. And now they're just everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm really fucking tired of them.
I mean, you just know S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to show up. And like, well, why are there even superheroes anymore?
I don't know.
There's zero need for them. Zero need. They are in every book.
Yeah, like if they're going to be Checkmate, make them into Checkmate. Don't make them into the NSA.
And sometimes I like when they're there. It's just they're in every story. I mean, even Joss Whedon was tired of them, so he made a new one.
Hmm? Oh, Sword. Right.
Now that's starting to get over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but boy, these were a hot mess. And I, you know, it's like,
man,
the Infinity tie-ins I read, I can't really blame it on
these,
the book, other than that it just tied into something that was awful and by extension could not be redeemed. It's not like, you know, like usually if there's like a big event, like a few of the tie-ins are actually pretty interesting. Like, I'm not a big Avengers versus X-Men guy, but there are some good tie-in issues, like in Avengers Academy and whatnot.
Yeah.
Well,
that's because it was Avengers Academy.
Oh, yes. Which, God, I really miss that book more
yeah.
than every day.
Yeah. Hey, where's Christos Engage? What's he doing?
You know, actually, I don't know.
Yeah. He should be on a top major book.
And that's Sam Humphries.
Well, Sam Humphries. He's got four, right? Three or four.
Humphries?
Yeah.
He might just have Star-Lord.
Oh, I thought he had, like, two more with Star... Oh, okay, maybe I'm fucking up on that one. I thought he did.
He might have another. I just don't remember because I don't super care. He's had other books, but they've been canceled because no one read them. Yeah, I mean, I can easily recommend, you know, if you're willing to shell out for 14 issues, like Avengers World 1 through 14, now over 15 and 16, avoid at all costs.
Bad.
They're bad. They are really bad.
Do not like Danger Will Robinson.
Yeah, and it's sad because I liked seeing Stingray. I don't know, I need to, like, fucking wiki U.S. Agent because the last time he appeared, like, I remember him appearing, he didn't have any legs.
Right.
Like, they'd been chopped off by, I don't know, like, whatever magic sword's up on Asgard, like, or maybe the Executioner's axe or something. Like, he'd been, like, seriously, like, maimed by somebody in Thunderbolts issues.
Yay.
Or wait, no, Mighty Avengers. It was Mighty Avengers. The Siege tie-in issues. And then he was the Warden in Thunderbolts, and he had prosthetic, limbs or whatever. So I don't know if, like, he's got cyborg limbs like Anakin Skywalker or what. But who knows? Maybe it's not even John Walker. I don't even know what he was doing with those people in that office. Was he recruiting them for the military?
I thought it was a scared straight thing. Was that what it was, Michael?
That's kind of how I took it, but...
They seem to be, like, losers.
Fair enough. I mean, Stingray's just hanging out in the middle of New York asking if he can help with a burning building.
Yeah.
Poor Stingray.
Poor Stingray.
But, you know, I guess the ends justify the means. I'm really glad Cassie's back because, like, even as much as I, like, really have always, like, been a huge fan of Cassie and Scott Lang, one of the dumbest moments in history of, like, comics was when Dr. Doom killed her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, not the history of comics, but, like, one of the dumbest things in recent memory because I was like, why?
Back. I mean, it's like after that, he just hightailed it out of there, man. He's not done any comics since then.
Oh, Alan Heinberg?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. At the same time, I also don't know how Dr. Doom got out of, like, the parallel dimension where he had all the Infinity Gauntlets you guys told me about in the end of Hickman's FF, because he's just back. I mean, I don't know if that was a story somewhere or what. But, you know.
What do you mean? Huh?
Wasn't that where he was left at the very end of the Hickman FF, was, like, stuck in some alternate dimension with powerless Infinity Gauntlets?
That's not the end.
Oh, okay.
I know what you're... That happens, but that's not the end.
Okay.
There's a wrap-up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great.
It's fantastic.
It was awesome.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
No pun intended.
It's fantastic, Michael.
That's all I said.
I know. I was just reiterating it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. I mean, yeah, I like the moment because I kind of forgot he was dating She Thing or whatever her name is.
Oh, yeah.
Marlo or Harpo.
Something or other.
She Thing. Yeah.
Oh, no, Darla.
Miss Thing.
Remember Miss when. Thing. Yeah, that's right.
You're right. Oh, my God,
was,
that's
like,
right.
Miss Thing, what's up with that? And, you know, he was like, you said, you know, like, Miss Thing.
Miss Thing, that's right. You're right. Miss Thing.
And I was like, oh.
That's, I'm really excited about the new Ant-Man book, though.
They called her She-Thing at the first issue, and they were like, oh, there's already one. Oh, right.
Miss Thing.
No, Miss Thing. Yeah.
I'm excited for it, too. It actually comes out next week because they're doing a bunch of launches this month.
Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about it.
Oh, have you seen those Phil Noto covers?
I've seen the cover.
There's 20 Phil Noto covers.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
What? For the first issue?
No, variants for all these different books.
Oh, okay.
And they're fucking gorgeous.
Oh, so they're trying to compete with those Darwin Cook ones.
Yeah, the Darwin Cook ones. I was just going to say, like...
I mean, those Phil Noto covers are fucking gorgeous.
I'll see how they compare to
them. Hey, I like Phil Noto. When he's on, he's really on.
Yeah.
The Darwin Cook ones are great.
Those Darwin Cook ones are, like,
book of those
top 10 phenomenal. I will buy a couple of them. You know, I'll never read the comic, but I would, if they had a book or just posters, like, goddamn, I have to have that Teen Titans where they're in a rock band. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's amazing. Amazing. There's my word. Amazing.
So are they supposed to look like real world things or whatever that Phil Noto did? Like Sue and Reed's wedding album?
There you go. Hang on.
I'm not going to say you're wrong, Chase. I do like those. They're nice.
Yeah, they are nice. A couple of them are really nice.
What's the ratio on those? Because that Gwen Stacy one's probably going to be $1 billion.
Yeah, we better get that one.
It doesn't say...
Yeah, they're probably 1 in 20 or something.
Probably.
I'm sure some kid on Reddit will be like, I read it. I don't need it.
What?
Those kids are just like, well, I bought this today, but I don't need... I read the whole thing, so I'd rather just get the trade. Does anyone want to buy it for $1? Yeah.
What, the comic?
Yes. All like the variant covers and shit. People just sell them for $1 on Reddit. Like, I have a few of them from that.
Was the Hulk one on that list?
No, I didn't see it. No. Time Magazine, yeah. Well,
that's more Newsweek.
Newsweek magazine? Looks like Time Magazine to me.
There was a Life magazine on there. I think there was
Life
the X-Men
magazine.
One.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Avengers World continues to be a hard book to recommend in a lot of ways.
Nothing ever happens in our life that's good.
What? I mean,
oh, like, I was that was the end of the Avengers World. Oh. Cassie. Nothing exciting about your life. I have to wonder how she came to life.
Who, Cassie?
Yeah, I like the explanation on that. It's interesting.
Dr. Doom punched reality.
She just came through a portal or something. I don't know.
So now you're going with my method, huh? Thank you. Now you're coming to my side. You see, I'm right.
Well, the more I think about that Scarlet Witch fight, the more irritated I get.
Oh my God.
This was so anticlimactic.
I just have no idea what's going on with her, and I just don't care. I really just really don't.
Yeah, I mean,
I really just don't. It's like everyone saw X-Men Evolution, and was like, well, I wonder what we can do with that version.
I wish it was that version.
I liked X-Men
Evolution.
Now she's
going to
really
be fucking inhuman or something. You know, I mean,
sorry,
like, couldn't she have just been like a creation of the cosmic cube?
No, that's being inhuman.
I don't know.
Unless you're at Fox and Wanda. Mm-hmm. This is my daughter. Wanda. This is my daughter. This is my sister, Wanda.
Wanda, yeah. I don't know. I'm really eagerly anticipating the whole Remender on Avengers thing over, because people like, they're trying to use like the Hickman defense thing where it's like you have to read the whole thing for it to make sense. And I was like, I don't even get that with Hickman, because having read like 5 issues of, well, Dirk Grain and the first 5 issues of his Fantastic Four thing, I was like, this is a pretty good book.
Yeah, it's already good.
Like, that's fine.
I think that
it's not like, you know, like, I don't understand where this fits in the puzzle. And it doesn't make
sense
until
I
see the whole pic. Like, it's not a fucking Lego set, guys.
Like, you know what's really hilarious about the anything to do with Fantastic Four and Hickman is like, no matter how insane all those crazy fucking stupid books he's making in Avengers are, is like when Reed or Sue or Valeria show up, like it's a good scene. It's well written and it makes sense only with those characters. And it's almost every time. Like, the only highlight of some of these things or anything involving them. It's wacky how it works too. Like, I don't know. It's no matter what, like
I like the way he writes the Illuminati.
No, I'm saying those are fine, but Reed's actively involved in that, so it would have to be good, because you can't have a whole shitty thing and just Reed work. Like, that part works a lot because Reed is in it, is what I'm saying. And
yeah, old man Cap up in the helicarrier, I'm like, yeah,
it's okay. Stupid,
but that's also not his fault.
Yeah, but I mean, but if it's like, you know, if it's the Reed and Sue stuff and time runs out, is really good.
It's
like a highlight of that entire thing. Everything else I just don't care about. So it's like, no matter what, he's like, those are like, if he's booking wrestling, those are his characters. They're always over. They always win. They're always good. They're always in a good angle, no matter what.
All right, let's wrap up with Rat Queens.
Rat Queens.
All right, Rat Queens, one of the new series from Image that launched, I guess, like a year ago or so at this point. Right? I think it was like
October about a year ago.
2013.
Yeah. It had to have been about a year or something, because they had that break.
That, and it's like bi-monthly, I think.
Uh-huh. It is now because of them. But I think going forward.
Well, no, he said other than April, it was going to be monthly through September.
Say, like, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
So
back on track.
Yeah. It's a great fucking book.
Yeah, it is, huh?
I think Rat Queens is great.
It's it was just
super highly recommended.
Super fun. I mean,
I'm glad you guys enjoyed this, because I was like, I just happened to read it on the way up to, like, Cincy, like, with my family, like, a week ago,
months.
And I was like, I've been meaning to read this forever, because it's on sale in Comixology all the time, and I already have the first 5 issues.
I'll be honest,
probably
like,
read it.
I was always waiting for us to just to do it, to read it.
And it was, it's great.
Because,
I mean, it's
I've been
really
excited,
like,
about reading the book from the beginning.
Shut the fuck up, Gary. Oh, that's best. The four,
that was great.
Who called for the 4 Daves? Nobody. Shut the fuck up, Gary. That was fantastic. Like,
I can count on many fingers how many shits I give, but I've managed to bring up one for you.
Yeah. Like, it really feels...
Conjure up one,
yeah. It feels like someone has taken 4 or 5 D&D campaigns and is recording them.
I guarantee you just, like, yeah, like that. This is his campaign. Like,
no. But I think there's other, like, I think there's a group of people that are playing the Four Daves that just run in every now and again. I see. That he knows, and he's like, "What have y'all been doing?"
Right.
The ponytail guys, the Pony Princes or whatever they were called.
Pony Princes.
Oh, they were fucking Pony hilarious.
Pony Princes.
In the very first issue, yeah, whenever they're giving everybody
the
quests.
Jobs or whatever.
Oh, they're one of the guys who die.
Yeah, and you got the Rat Queens, the Peaches, the Four Daves, the Pony Princess, and like Ethereal Oblivion or something
I think it's hilarious.
It is hilarious. The art, I mean, and I think the new artist will be really good too from what I've seen of his stuff, but the art in here was awesome. The characters all, like,
he's a great writer that is completely unnoticed by both the big guys.
You've not really seen
all the wrong people. They're on the wrong horse. Everything I've read by him at Image has been good to great.
You've not even seen, like, their origin stories yet, and yet you get a really good feel of every character in the main group.
Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. So for those playing at home, no pun intended, Rat Queens is a fantasy adventure comic published by Image that's about basically like a bunch of foul-mouthed...
Well, it's an adventuring party.
Hateful, yeah. Fucking, spite-filled asshole chicks that go around murdering monsters and swearing a whole bunch.
And partying. And partying.
And getting
party.
Fucked up.
Getting high, drunk.
They're a mercenary. They're a mercenary party that is, you know, and apparently the town...
is taking a giant shit on Tolkien's grave.
Right.
The town that they live in apparently is very idyllic.
Yeah.
It's a very idyllic fantasy town, and... They had succeeded. All these adventuring parties had kind of succeeded in clearing.
I'm 39 years old.
In clearing the outlands with monsters. So now they were focusing inwards, you know, and all these adventuring parties would just fight with each other and drink and brawl, and they'd all go to prison, and you know, and finally the mayor just gets tired of it, and in the first issue, each of these adventuring parties gets a quest that they get sent on, and if they don't complete the quest, then they can't come back to the city.
Fun cleaning the outhouses.
Right.
Yeah. And the main guard of the watch says, "And if you fail your quest, I get to punch each of you in the face as you leave town." You know, and the main characters, you've got Hannah, who is a seemingly necromancer elf. Her parents are necromancers, definitely.
Well, I mean, she's just standard
elf mage.
Yeah, she's a mage. She's an elf mage.
Then you have
she doesn't have to roll for spot often.
Roll for spot.
Let me see.
And then you've got a gnome.
I'm trying to get their names.
Oh, the halfling or whatever.
Yeah.
She's a smidgen.
Smidgen. Call it smidgen here.
They're called smidgens. And I found a thing that's got their names. Hang on, just 1 second.
I admit I had some trouble remembering when I was reading the comic.
I did too.
Redhead's doing something, and here's Blondie.
Yeah. Yeah, Redhead, Blondie.
Okay.
Short hair.
So. Hannah. Okay, Hannah is the elf. She's got like 50s hair with that roly thing. She's the mage. Her parents are necromancers. And she seems to have a little bit of that ability herself. Violet is the redheaded dwarf warrior.
Yeah.
Hipster dwarf because
she shaved her beard.
She doesn't. She doesn't like ale. She only likes wine.
That was my favorite joke in the book, was that all these uppity snooty people shaving their beards to be cool. I should grow mine back. I looked hotter with it anyway. Like that was incredible. It's a great fucking joke.
And then you've got
it was so good.
Then you've got Dee, who is a cultist. She's the cleric of the group.
Yeah.
But she doesn't. She came from effectively a Thulu worshipping cult, and you learn later, like, well, how do you even cast spells if you don't believe in your god anymore? And she says, "I'm goddess enough." So she literally believes in herself enough that her healing spells work, which, I mean,
to a degree, because they can't fix everything.
Right. Well, but they fix the fucking whatever that fucking troll crushes
her
Hannah's
arm dangling around. Yes. Like, I'm in shock, aren't I? Yes.
Yeah. Please quit dangling your arm. Yeah. And then you get Betty. And Betty is a halfling smidgen, what they call them, thief, and very obviously lesbian because she's about the only one whose romantic life they've really gotten into.
No, they with what's her face?
Well, in the beginning.
Oh,
in the beginning.
That was in the first issue.
Hannah and
they make a mention about her knowing the captain of the guard.
Gets. Well, the second issue is when she's thrown in prison.
Yes,
she's that was a great joke, though.
And Betty is fantastic because, like, they stop to go camping, and for rations, she has candy and drugs.
Candy and drugs, yeah.
Magic mushrooms and tobacco and weed and shit like that.
When was the last time we were in a forest with drugs? And it was last week.
Yeah, last week.
Wasn't
yep.
that because we plucked it off the trees that thought we were trying to kill us? Well, they were trying to kill us.
Yes, yeah.
They literally were alive. They were pissed that we took their mushrooms.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a fun...
Because, I mean, it's completely irresponsible, but it's such a fun manner that you don't see, like, you already see all bad things that can happen to them immediately. So it's not like there's like a great thing that happens. Like, it's just recreational use that you would see in any regular fucking mm-hmm. Jonah Hill movie.
Right. And it's then, so then they go on this quest and you're actually seeing some of the other adventuring parties who go on this quest, and it was a trap. There were assassins waiting for each of the...
Those ninjas were cool as shit, by the way. They were awesome
guys.
Looking. They look great. They had swords everywhere.
Yes. And...
Stranger's feet.
The Rat Queens, they don't have to kill their assassin because a troll kills their assassin. They just have to kill the troll.
Yeah, it's called troll.
And then the Peaches get pretty much decimated. Only two of the Peaches survive. All four Daves survive. But then the pony dudes are dead and the Oblivion guys are dead, and they all meet back up and they're like, well, what the fuck's going on? And so they start getting drunk and rowdy and, we're getting ready to go, break some shops, and they run into old woman, what's her name? Old woman.
Is it Bernadette or something?
Old woman Bernadette. Yeah, and right. She keeps, I'm only 39 years old, and she's a shopkeeper.
They're old.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Calling me old Bernadette.
And, threaten her and all that stuff. And Hannah goes to the mayor to see if it was him. And then it sort of gets kind of serious because they send Betty and Dee in to the Merchants Guild. Mm-hmm. And Betty's just sitting there doing a fucking Kaiser Soze, like looking all around, right. And then fucking leaves, and then she explains everything that she saw, and I'm like, that's fucking badass. Yeah. And because he showed it to you, he didn't hide anything to you in the art, they showed it all to you, it was just she interpreted it. And then...
It's a psych move, right?
Yeah. And then... You find out that old lady Bernadette was the one who hired the assassins.
One of the key parts is the end of issue two, where the mage uses her power to turn into the guard.
Oh yeah, she camouflages. Yeah,
and she walks in, and he's already in the room. She's like, "Oh fuck, nuts!" that was awesome.
And then she's in prison, and they're talking.
He's like, I'm just gonna let you go.
Yeah, they get that.
They had that awkward romantic thing.
Yeah,
it's very cute.
But then the cool thing is, so like, one of the Peaches is a half troll, that survives, mm-hmm. and the Rat Queens help her survive.
Yes. She was awesome.
She was, and because the troll who the Rat Queens kill, mm-hmm. that troll's girlfriend shows up with a whole army full of goblins. And so the Rat Queens and the half troll that the Rat Queens save from the Peaches and the four Daves fucking go to town. Yeah. That, okay. That was a beautifully illustrated.
Oh, it looked awesome.
Battle sequence that you could tell exactly what was going on.
The storytelling
was
a phenomenal look where you could just.
Yep,
you could start anywhere and get the story.
And get the story.
You know, that was great about
it. Oh, Captain of the Guard shows up with Betty whenever Betty tries to save old lady Bernadette from the assassin, and the assassin's trying to kill Betty. And Captain of the Guard fucking kicks that assassin's ass.
He's great.
Chops off both hands, and then with the next swing chop, because apparently Captain of the Guard got the Buster Sword.
Mm-hmm.
Because that thing's a massive sword.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was badass.
Buster Sword, yeah.
So, yeah, and then, of course, you get that tease at the end of issue 5, which I guess was when they took the first break, that Dee's family's cult, a little bit more widespread and could be a little bit more of a issue in the future. So, it was awesome. I would love to play in a D&D campaign with him. This world feels so fully realized that you could do whatever. I mean, it really feels like he got his best friends. He's like, okay, let's do a D&D campaign. And you know what? Do whatever the fuck you want. Don't worry about...
his most D&D campaigns.
Well, no, because most D&D campaigns, the DM will be like,
no, it's not.
The DM will be like, you can't go into that door. You try and open it, and it's like, you know, I mean, they want to
build up for stone, and you're into the neck, and then you fall into a dimensional portal that takes you back to the beginning of the maze.
Exactly. most DMs don't plan enough, so they lead you to where you want to go, and it's very structured. This guy's like, no, if you want to kill that shopkeeper, fucking do it. Let's do it. So, I mean, it was great. It was absolutely fantastic. I want to read.
Let's talk about these rates.
It's a great book. Like, by the trade, it's only $10.
Oh, this is an easy recommendation.
Yeah, but it's one of the.
It's a good time. It's a good time for. It's an easy book to get anyone into. It's definitely like a. It's great for someone just to, if they want to read comics. Like, imagine this is the first one they read, but I could see it. Definitely for the older crew, like, this is definitely something to hook.
This is, like, I've read other Curtis Weeb stuff, and I really like it. Yeah. This is a highlight.
What else has he written?
He did Greenwake, and, he does Peter Panzerfaust, which I've read, like, the first 4 issues of, and I like.
Yeah, I like what I've read so far.
Yeah, I like it. I don't love it. It is, like, I guess it's his most popular thing, right?
Not anymore.
Oh, yeah? Is this more popular?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, Rat Queen. I mean,
Rat Queens is everywhere.
It had 3 issues out, and then they said, oh, yeah, we're going to... We've already bought the rights.
Rat Queens is huge.
The cartoon's coming.
Sweet.
So...
And then he did that miniseries Grim Leaper that I reviewed.
Grim Leaper.
Oh, he did Grim Leaper. Oh, yeah, cool. Okay.
I had a review of that on our site, planemeasure.com.
I really liked that book.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
It ended up on image.com.
What? Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Yikes.
I really liked that book.
Oh, shit. I worked a long time on that one, so I'm sure it's fine. No, like, I have no complaints about this book whatsoever. It's super fun. It's very funny. It's pretty dirty, so I don't know if I would give it to, like, anyone. But, like, you know, you're like...
That's what I'm saying. Like, if it's definitely, like I said, it's for the older crowd.
If your 12-year-old daughter wants to read it, it might be like, let me look at it first.
But if it's, you know, if you've got friends that don't read comics that are around your age and... They don't know what to do. This is a good recommendation for it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super explicit, but it is relatively violent. There's
drug use, and you have to, like, really be aware of how people use drugs to understand how much of a joke it is in this comic. I mean, like I said, if they enjoy any R-rated comedies that are really great that we talk about often here, I think this is definitely up the alley.
You know, this is almost like a... Bridesmaids-esque type.
It's easily better than Bridesmaids.
Well, it's better than Bridesmaids.
It has no Melissa McCarthy in it. It's better already.
Yeah, it's great. This is fun. I mean, this book is... It's a breeze, too. It doesn't feel like a heavy investment.
By how much I liked it.
I really
I heard it was good. I didn't expect it to be great.
I want there to be more now.
You know, it's fun when you get a book where all the characters are so clearly defined in the first... 3 pages. You already know, like, you have an idea of who they
are.
And
I love the fact that, like, Hannah's parents have, you know, like, have a rock that they call her on.
Right.
That's the soul of a damned person. You know, that's the only reason that she has like a cell phone. I'm very, very happy and impressed and want it to succeed and make that guy lots of money because he deserves it.
Yeah, he does. You know, I like him a lot.
He's great.
Jim Valentino better hold on to him.
Yeah.
Because both of his big books are on Shadowline, which is the Jim Valentino brand over at Image. Now, this is the best Image launch. It's, I don't want to say the best or whatever. It's the most satisfying Image launch I've read since Revival.
I absolutely agree.
Which I like Revival a lot. We all like Revival a lot.
Yeah.
Revival's fantastic.
I like, I mean, it's kind of funny
Revival
because
my favorite comics.
Some of my favorite comics right now, like, period, are Image books, just because. I mean, I love Saga. I love Revival. I now love Rat Queens. And it makes me, you know, I want to discover more what's been hiding in Image that, you know.
I like Velvet a lot.
Yeah, Velvet's great.
Velvet's almost worth reading just for the art alone.
Yeah, Velvet's great. I love Velvet.
Lazarus is good.
Lazarus has been up and down for me.
Yeah, it's consistently interesting, but it's not always consistently as good as I would like it to be.
Wicked and Divine is also the same thing for me.
I like Wicked and Divine a lot. I
haven't read any of it.
I told Jason my biggest issue is that I feel like that they're holding back information for a big reveal. That would almost be more beneficial to go ahead and let us know because it would make more sense out of some of the stuff that's been going on. If that makes sense of what I'm saying.
I don't know. I wonder how many write-ups in Entertainment Weekly that Rat Queens has had.
Probably at least two.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh God.
It was a hot list. It was a hot item 1 week. Like,
God, it was Entertainment Weekly talks about.
Well,
fucking makes me sick.
Whenever the trade came out, whenever the first trade came out, it was like all over the news because everybody was like, "It's a $10 trade. Pick it up." I think it was number one on New York Times bestseller list when the trade came out.
I don't know.
Because, you know, they track graphic novels
graphic novels.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. God, you'd think if, like, the mainstream media was covering comics, there would be, like, at least one site I could go to on the internet
the
reliably for
media,
comic news.
Lamestream.
Wow.
I don't have any problem with, like, the mainstream media or whatever, but Entertainment Weekly, like, they were already pretending to be experts on movies and TV.
But you're not Sarah Palin, so you don't have a problem with the
lumping media. They're lumping something else on top of it.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of problems with Entertainment Weekly over the years.
I used to subscribe just so I could make fun of it.
Yeah, actually, we used to do that every week, I remember.
Yep. It was great. You would get 2 years for $10, and I was like, well, that's easy to make fun of.
Yep. Anyway, Rat Queens. Read it. It's super fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. Action, comedy, romance.
You will laugh at least once per issue.
Easily.
I guarantee you'll laugh at least once, probably per page turn.
It's very funny. I really like it a lot.
Like, you don't have to have played Dungeons & Dragons to get the humor. You don't have to be...
Or enjoy it.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is it's just, you know...
Sorry, Randall. What?
You don't have to know a lot of fantasy tropes to really get the humor. It's really...
It's just funny. It's a funny
It is. It yeah, really it's is. It's super... It's
there's
super
there's a lot of layers for people that know anything about D&D. Then you will point stuff off. If you don't, it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter. But it's fun. It's fun when it does. It's fun. It's fun when they make the D&D jokes. It is very funny.
Oh, like the quest giving and stuff.
I like his letter. I like his answers to letters. Go find the single issues if you can still. Before it becomes a property.
And they start writing Agent Coulson into it. So sadly, we must leave you guys. But in the wait between episodes, there's always things for you guys to do. Such as go to our website at www.planbanter.com, home of Plan Banter. You can find us on Twitter at Plan Banter, and you can email us at planbanter@gmail.com. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/planbanter. Go like us. And while you're liking us on there, why don't you go like Chris Kinzel Photography? And everyone be sure to check out the Twitter for Chris's photography, at Kinzel Photos. You know, if you want to listen to some music, you can find Jason's band, Clinch. At Clinch Band...
and clinchmusic.com and reverbnation.com/clinch. And also facebook.com/clinch. You can also find our friends, Engineer Nerd, of tvandfilmtoys.com. You can find them on Twitter, @EngineerNerd. And you can also listen to them on the Action Figure Blues podcast, which is found at actionfigureblues.com. You can follow them on Twitter, @AFBlues. Our friend Grey Matter Splat, @GreyMatterSplat. Our friend David, @FakeEyes22. Our friend Lemon Juice McGee, @LemonJuiceMcGee. And our very special pal, Newton Gimmick, @NewtonGimmick. Him of InfiniteHollywood.com and a sometimes contributor to UnderscoopFire.com. Shazam!